Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington this Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023. This is Live Talk Diaspora Forum. I'm Jonga Kandemiri. Tonight we are discussing the country's general elections set for August 23, 2023. The election is 21 days away, with some Zimbabweans in the diaspora planning to go back home and vote if they get transport. We will also look at the issue of violence that some say may affect those planning to go back home and vote. Before we delve into the main topic of the day, let us look at what is happening elsewhere. Over 700 people under the Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative are wrapping up their six-week intensive coaching and training in various fields in the USA. They are eager to implement all the acquired knowledge and skills despite challenges back home. VOA Zimbabwe Service Gibbs Dube caught up with some of the fellows and filed this report.
About 42 Zimbabweans are part of the leadership program, a brainchild of America's first black president, Barack Obama. The fellows acquired knowledge and skills in business management, community engagement, governance, engineering, and other fields at various universities in USA. Abigail Kumbo is an engineer at Mutare Municipality in Zimbabwe. She was at Rutgers University in New Jersey, where she obtained many skills in engineering and community engagement.
I learned about business even though I'm in the public sector because I am a sewer and water engineer by profession and I'm a certified project manager, and currently I am the project engineer for the city of Mutare back home. I chose the leadership in business track because it is my intention to learn how I can merge STEM, that is science, technology, engineering and maths, and sustainable business together with social impact. So that is why I chose the leadership in business track, and I really was grateful for interacting with other young African leaders and engaging with the businesses that they do and how I can tailor them and apply them back home.
She is itching to go back home and implement the knowledge she learned in USA.
Going back home, I realized that I work in a very technical field and we tend to not know how to create sustainable businesses out of that. So the first thing that I would like to do is to really foster public-private partnerships, engage the private sector in partnering with the public sector so that we effectively provide services to our communities.
Her colleague Trevor Ncube, project manager of Trans Research Education Advocacy and Training, is bubbling with confidence after acquiring new community engagement skills at Drexel University.
This experience has absolutely been life-changing for me. There's a lot of valuable lessons that I learned, particularly about how to organize community and how to impact your community. I know that I'm going back home a completely different leader, and the impact will be felt by the community that I serve.
Ncube says the yearly program is interesting.
I cannot put boring in there. And I was actually telling my coordinators that I don't remember a time when every day was so perfect and valuable for me. But the biggest thing that I gained was self-knowledge as a leader. They had us go through what they called the CLC and the Leadership Development Curriculum. What this did was take the time for us to get to know what our strengths are as a leader. We took a questionnaire online study that told us about our strengths, and I got to find out my top 5 strengths. What this did is enable me to understand my own actions as a leader, how I can integrate with others in the community, and how I can bring out the best, not only in myself, but also in other people. That for me was the biggest takeaway. I've never taken the time before then to fully focus on understanding myself so that I can be of better service to the rest of the community. But this fellowship gave me 6 good weeks of nothing but focusing on myself.
Greenhouse Academy Director Pindile Kosha, who specializes in business networking, is raring to go home and implement skills acquired in the 6-week program. She was at Purdue University.
I gained leadership skills on how to be an inclusive leader, not moving alone and moving with the masses, not leading from the front and leading from the back, so that whoever falls, I will be able to see quickly and pick them up.
She is aware that some people back home may not be keen to adopt and implement her newly acquired knowledge and skills.
When I first arrived in the US, I thought I wasn't going to cope, and I found out that if you put the effort, it's quite easy to adapt. So that's the first thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to make it easy for people at home to adapt with what I've learned. I'm going to make them feel like they were here through the sharing of knowledge. So yeah, I'm excited and looking forward to it.
Ntombika Mama Moyo, a novelist, screenwriter, and creative director of Ntombi Moyo Film Company, who was at Texas University in Austin, had a life-changing experience in USA.
I learned so much about the film industry, and I'm going to bring the knowledge back home so that I can grow the film industry in Bulawayo and Zimbabwe as a whole, as we do our TV dramas that showcase our cultures and the nice things about us Zimbabweans.
She is aware of some of the problems she may face in Zimbabwe.
I think just readjusting to the country, because I've been away for so long, and this has been the longest time I've been away from home. So maybe readjusting, but at the same time, I'm very excited about going back home.
Like all programs, some fellows had challenges with cultural shock and items to excite their taste buds. Nube noticed differences in the taste of meat that he enjoys in Zimbabwe and American beef.
Meat was overprocessed. It didn't feel like home meat. That's the one thing that I perhaps did not enjoy. But I found a Nando's somewhere here, and it tastes like home Nando's. So that was a good plus. But otherwise, yes, the food, it wasn't home food for sure. But, you know, when we were at the pre-orientation, they did advise that we open ourselves up to experiences. So I didn't talk about it. It wasn't a deal breaker for me. I ate what I was given, I ate what I could find, and I took it as part of the American experience. So it was okay.
The Mandela Washington Fellowship for Young African Leaders Initiative has over the years taken care of over thousands of young African leaders who acquire knowledge and various skills in USA. Gibbs Dube, VOA News, Washington.
And now back to our main topic. As the country's 23 August elections fast approach, some Zimbabweans in the diaspora say they are planning to return home to vote, but are banking on promises made by some political parties, candidates, and organizations to provide them with transport. The Zimbabwe Embassy in South Africa, ZANU-PF, Independent candidate Sevia Kasukwere, and even South Africa's opposition Economic Freedom Fighters, or EFF, have all pledged transport to ferry Zimbabweans willing to go back home and vote. This, as the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission today released the preliminary polling stations across the country. Also, the Supreme Court today had the appeal made by 12 citizens for Citizens Coalition for Change, or CCC, parliamentary candidates from Bulawayo who were disqualified from participating in the August 23 harmonized elections after their nomination papers were ruled by the High Court to have been filed after the deadline. The Supreme Court judgment is expected tomorrow at noon. Meanwhile, the build-up to the elections has been marred by reports of political violence and intimidation of mainly opposition CCC members across the country, a development that some say may discredit the outcome of the vote and also affect diasporans planning to go back home and vote. Journalists are not spared either, as they are being harassed, attacked, or denied access while covering the country's general elections, a development worrying media analysts. From Harare, Zimbabwe, Columbus Mavunga has the story for Voice of America.
Zimbabwe police say they are investigating an attack on journalists, including Anastasia Ndlovu. The freelancer who reports for outlets, including Voice of America, says she and other reporters were beaten and harassed in July by supporters of the ruling ZANU-PF party in the city of Bulawayo.
I feel the authorities in Zimbabwe must deal with such thugs. We are working towards having our harmonized elections on the 23rd of August.
Perfect Hlongwane, Secretary General of the Zimbabwe Union of Journalists, says his organization worked with police and political parties to try to improve media relations ahead of the elections. But the union has still documented journalists being harassed or attacked by party supporters or denied access to campaign rallies.
And these for us are violations that we thought were not going to be part of this election. Remember, as a country, we want to be able to deliver an election that is credible. And a free media that operates without any challenges will be able to be also a contributor towards making sure that we have an election that is credible.
Elections are often a flashpoint for media violations. The Media Institute of Southern Africa says it is monitoring conditions in several countries across Africa that have votes scheduled in the next 12 months. In Zimbabwe, the institute is seeing more violations than during the last election, says Tabari Moyo.
So there is, it has almost doubled from the last election. It's not looking good where the stock of an election. It means that the media's reportage will be challenged big time, and they will be literally reporting in the line of fire.
A new law is also troubling media advocates. Last month, President Emmerson Mnangagwa signed into law the Patriotic Bill, which criminalizes what the text calls injuring the sovereignty and national interest of the country.
For us, entrenches what has already been a restrictive legislative environment for Zimbabwean journalists, and we're worried that that law will be weaponized or might be weaponized during the elections to restrict and to retaliate against journalists and their work.
Critics of the law say it could curb free expression during the elections and that it may be unconstitutional. But its supporters say the law will protect the country from citizens calling for sanctions. Columbus Mavunga, VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Munyaya yedu ya tirikutarisa nezvayo nhasi, tirikutarisa kuti kwasara mazuva makumi maviri nerimwe kana kuti 21 kuti nyika ipinde muzuva resarudzo dzemutungamiri wenyika, nengo dzeparamende pamwe nemakanzuru. Zvimwe zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zviri kunze kwenyika zvichitarisira kuti zvinokwanisa kuzodzokera kumusha kunovhota kana zvakawana chekufambisa. Mamwe mapato ezvematongerwo enyika vari kukwikwidza pamwe nebato rinopikisa muSouth Africa reEFF vakavimbisa kuti vachawanisa vanoda kuzonovhota mabhazi nezvekufambisa kuti vakwanise kudzokera kumusha. Asi izvi zvichabudirira here tichiona kuti kwasara mazuva makumi maviri nerimwe uyewo nguva yacho kupera kwayaita negadziriro pasati panzwikwa kuti zvasvika papi. Izvi zviri kuuya panguva iyo Zimbabwe Electoral Commission yaburitsa nhasi gwaro rekutanga renzvimbo dzichange dzichivhoterwa munyika yose. Uko dare repamusorosoro reSupreme Court ranzwawo nhasi nyaya yekupikisa kwenhengo dzeCCC dzekuvulawayo mutongo wakapiwa nedare reHigh Court wekuti dzirambidzwe kukwikwidza dzichinzi dzakadonoka kusvitsa magwaro adzo kudare renomination court. Izvo vari kupikisana nazvo. Mutongo panyaya iyi uri kutariswa kuburiswa mangwana musi wechina. Mumatunhu akawanda emunyika munonziwo mune kukwira kwenyaya dzemhirizhonga, izvo zvinonzi nevamwe zvichakanganisa mafambiro esarudzo dzegore rino uyewo kukanganisa vari kunze kwenyika vanenge vaine pfungwa yekudzokera kumusha vachinzi vanogona kuzotya kudzokera kunovhota. Well, let's hear from our guest tonight, and please do stay tuned, and I will come back to you shortly.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depends on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined our show, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. This is Live Talk, and we are discussing the country's general elections and the Zimbabweans in the diaspora who are planning to go back home and vote. Joining us right now to discuss the issue is Mrs. Diana Zimbudzana Chambara from Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, who is based in South Africa. Welcome to our show, Mr. Zimbudzana Chambara.
Thank you very much.
Yes, we are also trying to reach to other guests, Dr. Ruramai Tadu, who is ZANU-PF spokesperson and is based in Botswana. That's for district, Botswana district. And Mr. Trustinlove, who is CCC SADC regional chairperson, who is based in South Africa. But we are having problems with our phones at the moment. Let me go back to Mr. Zimbudzana Chambara. What are you hearing from those who promised the transport to provide transport for those Zimbabweans who are willing to go back home and vote?
They are still promising that they will provide transport, but I believe it's early days. Probably in the next two or so weeks, as we get closer to the election, we'll have a clearer picture of whether they are going to honor their pledges or not.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard reports of political violence in other parts of the country, mostly in the Mashingo district and some parts of Mashonaland Central, Mashonaland East, and Mashonaland West, and Manicaland. Do you see this also affecting Zimbabweans who are willing to go back home and vote?
Yes, it does affect the decision-making of those in the diaspora, particularly those in South Africa, whether it by the end of the day, worth it to risk their lives and that of their families, because then the those who are perpetuating this political violence would then probably end up targeting the families of some of the people in the victims, in the some of the people in the diaspora. I mean, so yes, it does have implications on the decision making of those in the diaspora.
Mm-hmm. Totarisa nyaya yegadziriro dziri kuitwa muZimbabwe, imi muri sangano rinomirira zvisara zveZimbabwe zviri kunze kwenyika zviri muSouth Africa, muri kuona here vana veZimbabwe vari muSouth Africa vari kutevera zviri kuitika kumusha munguva yesarudze?
Hongu, tinoona vari kutevera zviri kuitika kumusha, tinoona maWhatsApp group, social media yavanenge vari tichitarisa zvikuru sei WhatsApp, but kune mamwe masocial media akaita sana Twitter nana Facebook nana Instagram, tinoona nhau idzodzo dzichitaurika zvakanyanya, kureva kuti vanhu vari kutarisa zvinhu zviri kuitika kumusha, vachiona kuti vachida kuziva kuti zvinovabata-bata papi kana vava kuda kuzoenda kusarudzo idzi.
Thank you so much, Ms. Mudzana Chambara. Please do stay on the line. We are now joined by Mr. Trustin Glovu, who is CCC SADC regional chairperson and is based in South Africa. Welcome to our show, Mr. Glovu.
Oh, thank you very much. Greetings, good morning, good afternoon to all your listeners all over the world.
Thank you so much. Yes, I know our listeners are eagerly awaiting to hear from you what your party has in store for them, those who are planning to go back home and vote.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Mr. Chandimwe. We have a lot of plans in place, but I must say this up front, most of our plans, we communicating with different people in different places or in different countries in the region, such as Namibia and Botswana, Zambia, and the provinces in South Africa. So the arrangements are there, but we encourage people. We've been encouraging people because we know it's not something that we started yesterday. We knew that the elections will come 2023. So we have been encouraging our people to prepare. How do you prepare? You prepare first your own money for going home, your own ticket. But then besides that, we know that our people, in most of our people are also destitute. They hardly, they live from hand to mouth. So we have arranged privately with other people to assist us to ferry them from one place from South Africa to Zimbabwe. But we don't want to publicize some of the nitty-gritties because or details specific, because we know we are fighting with the vicious regime. We know that our colleagues they may play their dirty tricks, which they always play. As you can see, even at home, our rallies are being banned. Our leadership are finding it very difficult even to campaign. Our people find it very difficult sometimes even to campaign down their home. So even here in diaspora, we have that kind of fear.
Mm-hmm.
Say we don't want to get our people kidnapped, butchered, or maybe stopped or being arrested for various reasons, charges, you know, along the borders. As
you
know, our diaspora is around all the Zimbabwean borders.
Thank you so much. Please do stay on the line, Mr. Ndlovu. We are now joined by Dr. Ramai Tadu, who is the ZANU-PF district spokesperson for Botswana. Welcome to our show, Dr. Tadu.
Thank you very much, Kandemiri. Thank you very much, colleagues. I greet you all.
Thank you so much. And this is one I recognize as Zita. Is it Tadu or Tadu?
Hello?
Zita, is it Tadu or Tadu?
My name is Dr. Ruramai Tadu.
Oh, Tadu. Thank you so much. So I think I did it right the first time. So, Dr. Tadu, people are eager to hear from your side what ZANU-PF has in store for them, those Zimbabweans who are willing to go back home to vote. And I want to take this opportunity to remind listeners that those who are willing to go back home are those who registered to vote, not every Zimbabwean, even those who do not have registered or have registration slips are not going to vote. It's only those who registered to vote. Go ahead, Dr. Tadu.
Sorry, I can't hear you clearly.
Okay, I was just reminding our listeners that when we are talking of Zimbabweans based in the diaspora who are going back home to vote, we are talking of those who are registered voters, not everyone. I was just reminding our listeners. And then to you, we want to hear what ZANU-PF has in store for those who are registered and are willing to go back home and vote. What have you planned or what have you arranged for those?
Thank you, Jonga. Thank you, Mr. Kandemire and colleagues. As ZANU-PF Botswana District, we have been planning on this issue over a long period of time. So we didn't start now. We actually started during the registration exercise, where we motivated our supporters to go back home to register. This was the first time voters. And now we are making plans through the district that those who have been registered to vote in their various wards are now going to be assisted if they have no means, encouraged if they have their own means to go back home to vote on the 23rd of August.
Mm-hmm. There are reports of political violence across the country. And mostly those who are crying foul are opposition CCC members, and they are accusing your party, ZANU-PF, of perpetrating violence. What do you have to say about this and tell Zimbabweans who are willing to go back home to vote?
Thank you very much for that question. The issue of violence, we are all reading in the papers, and when you analyze it, ZANU-PF members are saying they are being victimized by opposition, and opposition is saying they are victimized by ZANU-PF members. In our case, what we are encouraging our members is on the 23rd of August, they should go back home to vote, and they should not themselves provoke anyone, and we are so sure that they will not be provoked. In terms of the violence that is on the ground, we have not got any
issue or security message saying, I think as you cross the border, they are being dangerous, be wary of this and this and this and that. We are so sure that our members will be able to go and vote and come back to work.
Thank you so much, Dr. Talu. Please do stay on the line. Regarding the kuna mai zimbuzana chambara, urongwa upiwo, Mr. Chambara, wakaitwa noibato renyu, kanaonisanga no renyu Zimbabwe Exiles Forum. What do you have or what are you offering to assist those who are willing to go back home and vote?
Our first port of call was to encourage every Zimbabwean to register. Because then without the registration, they are then not eligible to vote. So we did that. And now we're encouraging those who then registered to go home and vote by any means necessary. By this we mean that Zimbabweans should commit themselves. They should not wait for other people to provide them with the means necessary for them to go back to Zimbabwe and vote. So we are encouraging Zimbabweans who have registered to now make necessary arrangements. We're telling people it's just one day, so they need to sacrifice for that one day, go vote, and then return and continue with their work.
Mm-hmm. And to you, Mr. Ndlovu, CCC members in the country are crying foul that they are being victimized by ruling party ZANU-PF supporters. But at the same time, there are some who are saying the divisions in your party may be the cause of all these. What do you have to say about this? Are you also witnessing divisions in your structures in South Africa? Because in Zimbabwe, there are double candidates, some three, four, all registering under your party. And some say this may have been the cause of some of the problems the party is facing.
Thank you once again, Mr. Tonga, for giving me this opportunity to clear up that such kind of stories and the falsification about our processes within the PAD. In the our processes took place, and we ran out all the processes, of candidate selection through the consensus system, which is a new model that we see even our colleagues, they seem to be really wanting to do the same thing. Look, we don't have candidate, double candidate per se. But what we saw is that there were other people that were used and that forged the signature, the president's signature. There's no way one person would sign for two people.
Thank you.
For two candidates for the same position.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. Ndlovu. We are running out of time. Let me go back to Dr. Tadu, nerurimi rweshona, mashoko amungasiira vateereri pane inonguva nenhengo dzenyu dzezanu-PF, Dr. Tadu, 30 seconds.
Thank you very much. It's a constitutional right for every Zimbabwean to go and choose their government, and we want to encourage all our members and all Zimbabweans to go and vote. Our party is ready for the election. We have prepared sufficiently. We have galvanized all structures of the party. As you know, that ZANU-PF is a well-established party that has got structures, even here in Botswana, have got well structures that are going to ensure that victory for our candidate, Comrade Edi Mnangagwa, is going to be delivered on the 23rd of August.
Thank
we are
you.
Ready, and we want peace, and we want to deliver a free and fair election.
Thank you
election
so much.
So that we don't want to hear people who is able to
time
say...
Time is not on our side, Dr. Tadu. Thank you so much. And at this stage, we have to say thank you to Ms. Diana Zimbuzana Chambara from Zimbabwe Exiles Forum, Dr. Ramai Tadu, who is ZANU-PF District Spokesperson for Botswana, and Mr. Trusten Glove, who is the CCC Regional Chairperson, South Africa. Not forgetting all our listeners out there. Totirambai mchiteira, nikutsigira, zvirongwa, the Studio 7. Anukuwe nikayane mufaro, jini wenyu, jonga, kandemi iri, ndiri mu Washington, D.C.